just have to remind them who's boss.
Okay, boss.
That song, that last song, carried with it a style that I think goes way back. Everybody here heard of Davy Crockett?
No.
Without a doubt.
Not Fess Parker. Davy Crockett. The guy who played Fess Parker way back. Davy got all enamored with Texas and really loved the potential for opportunity in Texas. And occasionally he would take caravans, you know, wagon trains, into Texas. And this comes from, I think, Earl West, or one of the historians of the church. A group of brethren decided that they wanted to go into Texas to evangelize. And so they made up a caravan. And he was the one asked to take them into Texas and help them get settled. And he did. Of course, don't have any idea how long this was before the Alamo. But he did take them. And he was impressed with these members of the church. He said, they sang all the time. The whole time. It was a singing caravan. And that's how it got known in history. The singing caravan. Members of the church heading to Texas to evangelize. Davy Crockett leading. Or at least that's what's recorded. And I couldn't help but wonder if the song you led was one of their songs. Sounds just like what you would hear on a wagon train heading to Texas. It's amazing how things rattle your brain. Very, very interesting what you can learn from stories out there. How long did it take God to create? That's the question of the hour. How long did it take him to make everything you see and all that's here? Plus a bunch of stuff you don't see, can't see. Well, that's the great debate. Everybody's talking about how long it really took. What's interesting now, though, is what I've recently heard with the James Webb telescope that can pick up infrared way out there. They are saying that James Webb is not going along with the theories about how old the universe is. So that's very, very interesting. Plus, you're not supposed, if you know, the farther out you look, the older everything is, and finally you get to the beginning and the galaxies are not even formed and everything is loose and nebulous. Well, no. Way back out, as far as you can see, they see, formed galaxies. Even intricate galaxies. Also, something else I didn't know until recently. They say that the only thing picked up by such telescopes as James Webb has been, the only things picked up have been, the simplest of atoms. Hydrogen and was it helium? And none of the heavy metals. None of the heavy molecules. Not metals, molecules. Until James Webb got focused on that ancient part of the universe, and they tell the elements by, you know, the spectrograph and the refraction and reflection, and so, you know, it's, the machine's going through its deal and letting the scientists who can read it say, I'm picking up heavy molecules from way back. Well, see, all this blows the materialist out of the water. He doesn't have any answer to this. Amazing statements have come from some of them. Time doesn't exist. Time isn't real, has been one thing put out. Another thing put out, galaxies existed before the universe. According to James, yeah, figure that one out. The creationist, though, says what we're learning from James Webb goes along with everything that the Bible has always said. Fully formed galaxies, immediately, with all the elements that are found in every other galaxy, is what you would expect. And again, that's what they're finding. Well, this really isn't all that surprising, because the materialist has been slapped in the face since the early 1800s, even 1700s. They've always speculated, they've always asserted, and then something would come up and they'd have to hush up about something. But then they'd find something else where they could wave, this shows no God, this shows Bible's false, this shows that we are right. Until that banner breaks, and then they have to go hunt for something else. But the farther we look, the bigger everything gets. We haven't found really an end to anything. It's all out there, and it's working out there. And what do you do with the universe that, as far as you can tell, has no limits? Everything made in 6 days? Really? So, a lot of Bible scholars have looked at the beginning, Genesis 1, and said, well, no. Remember now, you've got God making the heavens and the earth, first part of Genesis 1. But time doesn't come along till light. So what we speculate is there was a whole creation in that dark part. And God made it, and then they turned on God, and then God destroyed it. And then God started concentrating on what we have here. So that's why so many things look so old. Well, of course, what proof do you have about any of that? You're taking that little space between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, verse 1, Genesis 1, verse 1, Genesis 1, verse 2. You're putting in an entire creation that existed. They turned on God and He destroyed them. Wow. Wow. Well, what do you do with Jude, verse 5? Revelation 22:20. What can you read into that verse? We do get very silly when we try to presume on God and speculate on God. But the fact is, you look at chapter 1 of Genesis, and everything is about us. Throughout the entire focus of creation, it's us. God created the heavens and the earth. What earth? Well, see, there's 15 different earths that could be. No, there aren't. There's one, and we're on it. This is it. This is the earth. So everything that relates to that creation account in Genesis 1 has to relate to us here and now. Has to. There's no room for anything else. There really isn't in the account. So, at the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. Well, was there anything else made? Yes, there was. Water. The earth was a water planet. And it was a planet. It wasn't just a thing. It was a planet. which means it was already acting as a planet. That's what we have in that first part. It was dark because there was no light. The earth was without form. That doesn't mean it wasn't the sphere that it needs to be. What that means is there's no topography. There's no hills. There's no valleys. There's no shoreline. That's what it means, you know, without form. Void means there's absolutely no life on it. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Wonder how cold it was. Wonder if there was the ice frozen. I mean, was the water frozen? Was it ice? Was some of it ice? Or was none of that plugged in yet? None of the forces that create this nature, are they just not happening yet? The implication is there is a basic creation of the core of what is. And no time hadn't started yet. But that would mean that there's no systems giving off energy yet. But yet there are systems there in place. Waiting for what? Waiting for God. What's the first thing he says? You know it. We teach the children this. Let there be light. And so the light was turned on. What does that mean? Well, that's a very good question. And we can't get carried away with the idea of it. But light is electromagnetic energy. What we're seeing out here and what this comes off the sun. God separates the light from the darkness. Wonder what that is. Well, apparently, when the electromagnetic spectrum is created by God saying, I want to see it, there's no fine-tuning until God fine-tunes it. And as he tunes the wavelength of the electromagnetic spectrum, you get that wonderful centerpiece as we know it. Between the ultraviolet and the infrared, that wonderful centerpiece of light, what you can see, what's going to work. We don't have eyes yet. We're not there yet. But when it clicks, it's going to be something we will be able to see. Not just our eyes, but so many other creations. Going to be able to see, going to be able to use it so wonderfully. Did God have us in mind? I think he did. He says, God saw the light. He says, that's good. Separates the light from the darkness. The light he calls day. He didn't call electromagnetic spectrum. Newton or somebody did that. But he calls it day. The darkness he calls night. Where? Day and night. Where? On the earth. Which has to mean what? For day and night, you have to have a rotating sphere. So now things are what? Working. Now you also have time, because time is the measure of the loss of energy of any particular system. Interesting that most all the systems lose their energy at the same rate. So that time is a universal concept. Touching all the universe? I don't know any place without it. Oh, but you got the singularity and you got the black holes and that's all guesswork. We don't know what they are. To say people are guessing is to say an understatement. As far as we know, time would apply everywhere. Okay. So now time applies. Evening and morning, first day, what do we have? One full rotation.
One day.
One full rotation. So then it becomes a matter of, okay, now we need an atmosphere. So God separates, it's a water planet. God blows a bubble within the water and separates it. You have water above, and you've got water on the ball itself, on the sphere itself. And in between is this wonderful concoction of oxygen and nitrogen, and a few other things too. You know, oxygen is flammable. Remember Apollo 1? What happened there? Pure oxygen in the capsule, and a spark lit it up, killed them all, burned them up very quickly. Oxygen is volatile. You know what keeps it from burning up all over the earth? Nitrogen. Because nitrogen is inert. It keeps the chemical reactions that would take place controlled. You can burn oxygen, but you can't see oxygen just take off and burn uncontrollably. The system is always under control. So is that atmosphere going to work? Oh, I most certainly. There's your second day. Now what's happening out with all the other galaxies? We don't have a clue, except that those other galaxies, including the galaxy where the Earth is, are serving as an anchor. We've talked about this. Serving as an anchor to keep the Earth stable in its place in the universe. That has to be working at this point for the Earth to be able to hold all that God intends for it. And then the third day, it's producing the dry land because he's going to bring up plants. But what's interesting is plants breathe carbon dioxide and release oxygen. So that has to already be set up for the plants to be able to survive, be able to be there. Now, some have said, yes, these days are epochs. They're actually millions of years. And yes, it was done in 6 days, but it's six epochs, millions of years, or many thousands of years. Okay? So you get plants day three. You get birds day five. You don't get the insects till day six. So the plants are going to survive thousands of years without anything to fertilize them, without anything to seed them. That's going to happen. What we so marvel at, the interaction of nature, that's just put on hold until God says, okay, now I want the insects to do it. Millions of years later, does that even fit?
No.
Not at all. But can plants survive a day? Yeah. Well, you know, sure they can. And then you have day four, the sun, moon, and stars. Remember, this is written by Moses, by the Holy Spirit. And it's as if Moses is standing on that ball of the earth. He's standing and he's watching all this happening and he's writing it down. So sun, moon, and stars don't show up till day four. Might they already have been lit up with their energy? And so what happens is the sky clears up enough so that now you can see what's causing the light, the evening and the morning. Now you get to see it. Now you see not only the sun, but the moon. And he made the stars also. And those stars are actually, many of them, the galaxies that God already had in place. But now, the earth gets to enjoy their light. Fascinating. Fifth day, the fish show up, or the water animals show up, and the birds show up. That's interesting. The sixth day, all the other animals show up. And everything now is in place at the end of the sixth day, toward the end, or so it seems, God, the Word, and the Holy Spirit come together and say, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over all of this. God made man in his own image, in the image of God made he him, created he him. Male and female created he them. Then the next chapter, God goes into a little more detail on how that happened. God saw the man and the woman, said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Have dominion over everything. How many days did that take? I think the best answer is Exodus chapter 20. Let's go there. This is God speaking from Sinai. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Why, Lord? What's this all about? Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, holiday. What did Jesus say about the Sabbath? The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But what did it take to make man, to make the Sabbath for man? According to Exodus 20, creating everything in 6 days. And what are the days? They can only be 24-hour periods per the rotation of the earth that everything's on. What it takes for us to have evening and morning. There's no reason to expect any difference than what has been presented and what it's all about. And anyone who would say, but now, I don't think God's that big. God can't do that. Really? We're just talking about the God of the universe who speaks everything into existence, but he can't quite do it in 6 days. Strange. And people want to grouse and say, yeah, but what about this? What about that with you? Does God have to create something in seed form and then let it mature? Or can God create the mature thing and let it bear seed? Well, of course, the latter. So everything that is made, and remember who he has in on his mind. Remember whom he has in his heart. Everything is made for us, you, me. It was all made for us, with us in mind. All of it. And the angels got to see it, and Job says they rejoiced. Sang to see it all come together. The way God did it. So there's no need for taking the Bible in any sense, especially in Genesis, other than what it says. And anyone who would try to say differently, I think they've got a problem. They don't really believe what the Bible says. And probably they don't really want you to believe in what the Bible says. So what are you going to do about that? Well, let God be true and every man a liar. And that's where we stand. That's what we believe. Romans chapter 3. Days of creation, are they important? Jesus thought so. Moses certainly thought so. Do you think so? Do you think it's important to know that everything you see and all you can know here and now, God made real. God brought it into existence and fixed it all just right in 6 days. Days you know, days you can count. 7 days making one week. Now, we don't have to worry about the Sabbath today, but first day of the week's awfully important, isn't it, for us? Still have to count the days. Goes all the way back to the beginning. Hope this has been helpful to you. Hope it's been encouraging to you. If you have any questions, let's talk about it after service. Do you need to correct something about your soul, about your life? Do you need to be baptized into Christ? Do you need encouragement from the saints? Come while we stand.
To the first verse of the song, come, I love for.